nice guy. But I'll take her by the hand to the airport. Maybe let's go and shop. What do you want? You want to buy lipstick? Come, let's go and buy in Lagos. They will fly to Lagos, move around Lagos, finish shopping, fly back to Enugu. I can imagine the young woman will go. You know the way it is. I'm going to die for the guy. But then when the spirit that he was connected to began to manifest. That's what I told you. Listen, though, ladies, don't marry a nice guy. If he loves the word of God, marry him. If he's not nice on top, we'll manage the niceness. We will not add the niceness. Okay, he's a man of God and he's also nice. If he's a man of God, you know what I mean? Man of God, I don't mean a preacher. That is a man who loves God and he's not nice. That one is small now. You go and pray for him. Lord, I want him to be very nice. And the Lord said, no problem. You know he's my boy. And one day he'll wake up in the morning, then the spirit of niceness will come upon him. God will send him friends that will tell him, my friend, start being nice. Is that so? Yes. Oh, I'm so sorry. Now go and meet his wife. Sweetheart, you may have not been nice to you. I'm really sorry. From now on, I shall be nice. He can only get better. The path of the just is like the light of dawn. He shines nicer and nicer unto the perfect man. But we never start life out. They want to marry a nice guy. Marry a man who loves the Lord. Amen? Now, how did I get into that? You know, when you get to that, you just come, you lose direction small. I don't even know what I was saying again. Now, so, I just was trying to debunk the argument of that so-called pastor that the young woman went to ask for counsel and was talking nonsense. When a Christian, we're not talking about counsel now. We are talking about the desire to know what God has to say. That we're not talking about good advice. When we are looking for counsel, we are saying, what did the Lord say about this kind of situation? The people you use the title pastors for in life, that's their job. If you call me a pastor, it doesn't mean I'm nice to you. I'm using niceness again. It doesn't mean I visit you when you're in hospital. It doesn't mean that when you park into a new house, I'm there to come and celebrate with you. Those are the jobs of your friends. If you move to a new house, your friends will go there. I don't have to go there. You don't call me pastor. Don't say that. Assume I'm pastor of a church. I don't come to your church again. Why? When I was doing them, you did not come. That's your problem. It's obvious I'm not blessing you. I don't know whether I get my point. You see me on the road. I say, I've not seen pastor for a long time. You know, pastor, when we were wedding, you didn't show up. You know, inside my heart, I will flog you. On the surface, I'll just smile. In my heart, I'll be looking at you, oh foolish Galatian, who has bewitched you to think it is my duty to be coming around for your wedding. If I show up, we thank God. If I don't show up, if ever I was a blessing to you, it shouldn't matter. If anytime you are going to school, your uncle, you know, you have this uncle, nice guy, he said, Angela, you are going back to school? Yes. Is there anything you will need? He said, yes, uncle, I think I wouldn't mind having an iPad to use for my assignment. And he brings out his checkbook, signs the check. There it is, $150,000. Buy an iPad. Buy an iPod. As long as I am paying, you know. It's iPod, iPad, I pay. And the next semester you are going to school. Is there anything you will need? Yes, sometimes our lecturers send out us emails, so I want to get it on the move, and I don't want to be carrying my tab around, so maybe I like a nice Android phone. Say, no problem. There is a Samsung Galaxy Grand into your life. Thank you. Uncle, any other thing? Yes, my Brazilian hair is now old. So are you sure it's not going to send you to hellfire? I said, Pastor Bank, he said, no problem. Then you are wedding. Are you getting my point? An uncle doesn't show up. He doesn't come. Let me ask you a simple question. Are you going to vex? You go first vex. Say, uncle, you were not there at my wedding. Anyway, I brought my husband to come and greet you. Why? Because, uncle, I didn't see you at the wedding. Where's my dishwasher? Are you getting my point? Yes, now, you know that time when you were single, if you could produce all those things, now it's a big thing. If I've been a blessing to you, if a pastor has been a blessing to you, if he doesn't greet you on the road, it doesn't matter. I attended the church of a pastor once, let me not mention his name. My wife knows what I'm talking about. And I tell everybody till today, he's not a nice man. Yet, when they are going to the city, I say, you want to church? This is the church to go. But let me warn you ahead of time, he's not nice. I'm not joking about this. But this is the point. We did not go to the church to go and see nice people or see, hear a nice man talk. We went to go and learn the word of God. And the first day I heard him teach, I almost fell down. Not anointing pushing me down, but the weight of the words, they were so heavy. Literally, I was doing like this in my seat. I'm not joking. I was doing like, he will talk, I'll do like this. The words were so deep and powerful. What difference does it make? On my birthday, they didn't send me a present. Don't send me a present. I will buy you a present on my birthday. I hope you're following my point. That is the job. I just dropped that again, by the way. I was saying, if you're starting a church and you use the title pastor, just the problem we have is that pastors are not pastors like the Bible says. They are now more like administrators and the face of the assembly. You know what I'm saying? But in reality, when the Bible talks about pastors, it said in Jeremiah chapter 3, I will give you pastors after my heart. They will feed you with knowledge. They will feed you with understanding. That is, when you are at crossroads, what does God say about this matter? You go and ask a pastor, not an experienced man. Any unbeliever who's experienced can tell you anything. But a pastor, his tongue is supposed to bring forth the knowledge and the counsel of God, not how he feels. One day I was reading Larry Bucket. He said many times people, business will come to him. Somebody has defrauded them, a member of their church, a good Christian, well, a Christian like themselves, the matter of good, let's leave it for a moment. They come before him, and when he finishes hearing the things, and the man says, so Mr. Larry or Brother Larry, what do you think? So you want to know what I think? I say, yes, I think you should sue him. I think you should drag him to court. I think you should do all of this. And that one was feeling very happy. And he says, that's what I think. And that one said, thank you, sir. He said, but do you want to hear what God says? He said, because I also understand. I can feel that fellow's infirmities. He said, but then, and I said, that's what I think. Let me now tell you what the Bible says. He said, he's a Christian like yourself. He said, yes, I don't think you should sue him. I think, now I'm adding my own words, you should drag him to you, the elders of the church. I think if, now this is what Larry Bucket actually used to say, if you will not agree, let the money go. God will repay you another way. He said, that is what the Bible says. That is what the word of God says. Not what I think. A lover of God, that's what he or she is looking for. What does the word of God say about this situation? He's not looking for plenty ways to achieve his or her own result. The fellow is saying simply, what does the word of God say? That's all. Now let me end this with this. We're talking about loving God. I want to just say this, then I close. The tragedy today is that Christians, and many people are being attracted to church on that premise, not to love God, but to use God. God is the person that supplies needs. He's the one that brings children if we want to get pregnant. Is the one that brings wife when we need it. Is the one that brings husband if they are scarce. When we need a job, we go to God. Christian principles are good for doing business, so let's go and learn them so we can do our business and make money. That is not love for God, that is using God. I want to just explain that. When I was talking about how you won't be deceived, I said, listen, a man sees a vision can be of God, it will still lead to deception. That is, when I say of God, now I mean that God granted the spirit of deception to go into the eyes of the so-called prophet, and it deceives you with a real, genuine vision that he saw. It happens. We read the story of how he had died. That also happened. And I said that the only difference is that we don't, listen to this, we don't follow God for what we are going to get. We follow him for the sake of righteousness. And that was why we read from that Psalm 45. It said, because thou hast loved righteousness. Many people don't love righteousness. They just want to get results. I want every Christian to step out of that level and step to another level of just loving righteousness for the sake of righteousness. That's what it means to love God. Because all his ways are just. That's the meaning of the word righteous. His word, the Bible says, is perfect. So if somebody is following the word of God, the fellow loves righteousness. That's what it's talking about. Not trying to get results. That is the one every Christian must learn. We are not here to use God to get something that we want. This illustration, I've used it many times, but I've not found a better one. So I'll repeat it again, just to illustrate the point I'm making, and I close. Once, I went somewhere, a couple's dinner. My wife and I were present. It happened to have been in December. Normally in December, anywhere I go, I don't like to talk. I say it's my season of preaching. I preach from January to November. Many times I preach, like yesterday was a Friday. I was somewhere preaching in the morning. I preached again that same place today's morning. I'm here this evening preaching now. I'll be there again tomorrow morning. On Tuesday, last Tuesday I was here. On Sunday I was in another church, one Anglican church preaching. Saturday before that, I preached like that from January to November. So December is the period I don't preach. I don't accept invitations. Anywhere I go to relax. So that was one of my relaxing days. So let's go for this couple's meeting. And somebody was asking a question. How to get your husband to behave? And of course, the story always goes. You will cook the best meal that he loves. Let me just say it ahead. It's deception, though. You will talk to him nicely. Listen, if you know something is good, do it all the time. That's what I just call it, deception. You don't be a witch. You know, witches are the people that manipulate people. So when you want something, you go and wear is it nightgown or lingerie, what do you call it, that he really likes, that one that brings the atmosphere for miracles. Those are the people that are even a bit carnal. Then the spiritual one will say, you will prophesy over his pillow. You will strike his photograph with mantle. Which I always tell you is nothing but witchcraft. You will anoint his plate before you serve the food on it. Let me ask you, if they anoint your plate and you are seen from afar, you go chop the food. You are a man of God. Oh. You will wonder, what's this girl up to, for goodness sake? You want to anoint my... Anyway, when people went through all of that, then the question now was, when you have done all these things and the man still does not change and he still does not respond, what shall you do? Then the answers will begin to roll. You will now join in with thanksgiving. Now I'm adding many things to it now. Then you now worship the Lord. And you start confessing by faith. My husband has changed in the name of Jesus Christ. And my husband has changed. I speak. I receive. I declare in the name, you know. As everybody was talking, I was getting edgy. Oh, my body was moving. After a while, I said to my wife, sorry, baby, I have to talk. I can't tolerate this any longer. This is wrong. Why are we Christians confusing ourselves? I put up my hand, they gave me the microphone. And that's what I'm saying to you again today. I said, Christians, we don't do what we do because they get results. We do them because they are right. It's called loving righteousness. If something is right, I do it, whether I get results or not. If as a wife, I know to cook the best meal is good for my husband. Why am I not doing it regularly? That's why I tell Christians, I will say it until you believe it. All this one of getting up suddenly and taking an offering, that this offering will bring me this, it will not bring you jack. Listen, I have said this many times. People have gotten angry over it. I will say it 1 million times. If you don't want to give, please put your poverty money in your pocket. Nobody's begging you. Anytime you bring it out, two things must be in there. One, it must become a habit. Two, it must be for a good reason so as to be a blessing somewhere else. It must never be about you. I say it again. Why do I have to keep saying it? Because Christians go around doing the opposite every day. They like to be deceived. I'm sorry, but I'll say it. The pastor who does the UNAC, they always come with stories. I was in Contagora. One woman removed the roof of her house and sold it. The next day, God raised the house by 5 levels. Then I came from Lagos. One removed all the tires of the car and sold it and brought the offering. Next day, God turned the car to a Jeep. And you see moguls and ignorant people shouting, yeah, praise God. What will you do right now? You remove this jacket on your shoulder and sell it. And you see them, everybody running up and down. I'll be looking at them like this. Blind leader of the blind. The man knows nothing, does follow him no less. What annoys me is because after many years, many of those people will become discouraged. They have given until they are broke. The miracle didn't come. It was not planning to come. It will not come. Are you hearing me? Listen, I will say it because it's the truth. I have been commissioned by God to give you deliverance. You have not, because you did not ask. And when you asked according to the lust that was in your heart, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You are trying to compete with your neighbor. Ask, and you shall receive, and your joy will be full. What about giving? God loves a cheerful giver. And when God loves somebody, I've told you what it means already. Who is a cheerful giver? A giver is a giver, not a manipulator. A giver is a giver, not an asker. You know what I'm saying? Using style. I, the Lord, I test the heart. I know what you are really looking for. Giving must be a habit. It's not manipulation. What about the widow of Zarephath? She gave one offering. If you believe she gave one offering, you don't know the Bible at all. Because you forgot to ask one question. She gave one offering when Elijah showed up at her door. True or false? The question you forgot to ask, how did Elijah get there? How did Elijah get there? Elijah was not looking for anybody with an offering this morning. Who would say to God, I wanted to do something special in my life. No. Elijah came because he had a commandment from God. God said, go there. There is one widow that I have commanded to take care of you. And Jesus commented on it and said, he said there were many widows in Israel. So none of them was Elijah sent. If you look at the context, Jesus was saying that God sent Elijah to go and bless that woman. Elijah came with a blessing. And that was his way of locating who it was that was supposed to receive the blessing. And I can tell you from studying the scriptures, two things that woman must have been involved in. Number one, she knew how to cry to God for help when she was in distress. And number two, when she was in abundance, she knew how to give to those who were in distress. It was a habit. She did not give one offering and receive any miracle. Offering giving was part of her life. Praying was part of her life. That was why Elijah traveled a great distance to get to where she was. He came looking for her. That miracle would not have happened in the life of other widows in the neighborhood. Don't ever forget that. What am I saying? We don't come to Christianity to use God. If you are not a regular giver, please don't bother. You won't get anything. I also run the ministry, and we spend hundreds of thousands of naira on a monthly basis. But I will never, because of that, twist this gospel 1 degree, of course, because I'm looking for money. If we don't have money to do it, I tell you all the time, what do? We shut it down. We shut it down. Tracts was all I came to Enugu doing at the beginning of ministry. My wife and I alone, last time everybody was gathering here, folding tracts, I said to everybody, my wife and I alone, folded 10,000 tracts. No help from anybody. Before you ever heard my name. So what is the big deal? I can't pay for radio. I shut it down. Can't pay for TV. Shut it down. If you can't download again, everybody, download from your friend. We'll go back to printing paper. As long as I have breath, if I have to stay by the wayside, I'll stand there and preach the gospel. There was a time I almost added it. My wife remembers, I was thinking of the idea. All these people that come to bus stations to be looking for money, let's go and displace them. Maybe one day, somebody motivates me, we might start that. Just get Isaiah, our job, bus station in the morning. Go with tracts. Stand there. Share the good word of God for 5 minutes. Give her the tracts and come down without asking for money. They have insulted the gospel enough. Everybody, Jesus is coming soon. Repent, otherwise you will die. If you die, and he will come. If you have anything to support this ministry, if the ministry has been supported, I say Jesus is Lord. You came to talk to an unbeliever. You are begging him if he has anything to support the ministry. You're a thief. What am I trying to explain? We don't manipulate God. We love him. That's it. Christians, we don't come to God to go and say, where is the place where husbands are found now? Where is the place where wives are? Now go to church and sow a seed towards wife. You will reap Jezebel. I'm not lying to you. You will reap Jezebel. And it will be a miracle. People say that as I gave that offering, the man of God said, this week you will see your husband. And you mind that husband. I'm afraid for you. You now come. This is my ring. I sowed the seed 2 months ago. Today I'm married. You're not afraid. Okay, don't worry. Come and repeat this your foolish testimony in 5 years. Am I saying God cannot work miracles? He can, but usually does not do it because of money. People are sowing seeds every day to harvest Jezebel. And God allows them. You know why? Because he said they didn't love righteousness. They came to manipulate God. He said to the froward, I show myself as froward. The one that is crafty, I manifest myself as the Lord of craftiness. So the one who thinks he can sin and come and sow a seed and I'll give him a harvest. Don't worry. Where Jezebels were made, they are still making them. I've reopened the factory. After the economic turndown or downturn, we have reopened the factory. All the evil men sowing seeds for wife, we shall give them Jezebels. Why? Because according to Ezekiel 14 verse 7, they did not take the idol away from their heart. They did not take away the iniquities from their eyes. They have now come to me and said, let me sow a seed, you give me a wife. God said, no problem. I have plenty. But no, real Christianity, we don't do that. You know what we do? We love God. What did I say? We love righteousness. So I said in that meeting that day, I said, listen to me. We don't do the things we do because of the results we get. We do them because they are right. That is what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to love righteousness. To just want to do that which is right. Because it is right. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. Yes, sir. We're talking about walking by the Spirit. And today I've spoken about loving God. Being the foundation for walking by the Spirit. Let's bow down our heads to pray.